Amen. Seems amazing. Every time we get together, there's too many headlines to go over. It's just too much. Chapter 12. As we go through this chapter and just see what the Lord has for us, it says, in the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash began to reign. In 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days, wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. So even though he was doing what was right, the people didn't always follow. It just shows our hearts that what we want, we're going to get no matter what. But for Jehoash to be in that place of not taking down the high places, we realize too that there was some things going on in his own heart. We know he's young. He's only 7 years old. but he has this priest, Jehoiada, who's instructing him and keeping him. And it's kind of amazing the things that go on. Hold your place here and go to 2 Chronicles 24. And again, these parallels are just so important for us at times, just to see these things. And Jehoash is also in the names there, Jehoash. So it's Joash and Jehoash. So you can called by both of those, and we know that more than one person had these titles and had these names, and so sometimes it gets a little confusing, and we try and keep it as simple as we can. But Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. So there's the confirmation of all this. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took for him two wives. Don't know why he did that, but he did. And he begat sons and daughters. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And he gathered together the priests, the Levites, and said unto them, go out in unto the cities of Judah and gather all of Israel to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that ye hasten the matter. Howbeit, the Levites hastened not to it. And that's going to be important for us as we go through this. So keep that in the back of your mind. And it says in verse 6, and the king called for Jehoiada the chief, and said unto him, why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem a collection according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, in the congregation of Israel, for the tabernacles of witness, for the tabernacle of witness, for the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also the dedicated things out of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam. And at the king's commandment they made a chest. And so we're going to see that as we go through. But it's important to keep these things and to compare them as you're reading, so you get some more information out of it. But back in Kings here, we see kind of the same thing, but with a little information added to. So verse 4 back here, it says, Jehoash said to the priests, all the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of everyone that passes that passeth the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that cometh into any man's heart to bring into the house of the Lord, let the priests take it to them, every man of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the house, wheresoever any breach shall be found. Now remember, the priests were getting funds for their living from the sacrifices that would come in. They would pay for the sacrifices to be done. And so the priests would take that portion for their families to live and to do all those things that were necessary. And so the Jehoash now, or Joash, wanted those things that were extra to be taken care of the temple so that the temple would be rebuilt, the temple would be put back together, because remember we saw in Chronicles that Athaliah, the mother, there destroyed the house of God. And you wonder, why is he so interested at such a young age? Because remember, he was in the house of the Lord for 7 years. So he was there probably seeing things get destroyed, things being dismantled, things being undone that should have been taken care of. And Jehoiada, the high priest, remember, was married to his sister, his sister's, she's related. there's too many people here. So they were probably talking to him about the importance of the temple, the importance of having the temple there, and yet Athaliah was doing the complete opposite. And that's why she was destroyed. So he wants this rebuilt, he wants this taken care of, but in that place we see that things aren't being done. The priests are not hastening unto it. The priests are not taking care of those things that they were supposed to. And you wonder how much influence the priests had from Athaliah and from all those that were ungodly and worshiping in the high places. And you just wonder how much of that influence was upon them that they weren't taking care of the things that they were supposed to be taking care of. But it just shows us that if we're now a kingdom of kings and priests, how faithful are we in keeping the temple of the Lord, which is us, our bodies? How faithful are we? Are we hastening to it? Are we running to that place where we would just take care of these temples that the Lord has given us? Or are we just kind of so-so and just mixing things in from the world and mixing things in from the Lord just to satisfy our own flesh? Oh Lord, help us to be faithful, especially in the days that we're in. We don't know how much longer we have on this earth. I would love to see the Lord come back today. That last trump to sound, that would be a wonderful thing to hear. The voice of the archangel crying out. But he says, let the priest take it to them, every man his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches wherever any breach may be found. But it was so that in the 23rd year of King Joash, the priests had not repaired the breaches of the house. So it's been a while, it's been a season, things are going through, and yet things are not being taken care of the way that they should. And all these influences, all these things that are going about are no different than the influences we have in our own lives as we look at our temples and we see if we're excited about the things of the Lord, if we're getting into the Word, if we're digging in and being in fellowship as much as possible. Lord, may you be our influence that we want to have in our lives, and not the high places of the world where they worshiped idols. Lord, help us to do that. We see America certainly not in a good place as far as the church goes, not in a good place as far as Christianity goes, and you wonder how much influence is going to come down upon the church to the point of them shutting us down. We've already seen they can do it quickly. We saw it with COVID. Churches were shut down immediately. And you wonder what's going to be the next thing that's going to happen to shut the churches down again. And how are we going to stay faithful in the midst of it? How are we going to stay faithful to be in that place? Because who knows, the next time maybe the internet will be lawfully taken care of so that there will be no more Zoom for churches. And then what are we going to do? What are we going to do personally? Lord, because it doesn't matter what the church does, it matters what our own hearts are doing. We're going to see that with this man that we're looking at, this boy king that was there. We're going to see the influence that Jehoiada had, the high priest had over his life. And as soon as he died, Jehoash went a whole completely different direction. He only did those things while Jehoiada was alive. After he died, he did none of those things. In fact, he went the opposite way. It just shows what was in his heart and what was going on in his life came to fruition and came to be as he would see it after Jehoiada died. And who's our influence that's keeping us going? Are we doing it on our own because of our relationship with the Lord? Or are we doing it because somebody else is there? We can't save our kids. We can certainly influence them. You're going to church. It's for me and my house. If you're in the house, we're going to church. But after they move out, who's the influence? And you wonder, are we influencing anybody to keep them in the way? And what happens when we die? Where are they going to go? Or what's going to happen with us if our spouse dies or the person that influences us the most passes? Are we going to stay in the faith and walk in the truth? Oof. And the questions are hard, but needfully so, because we're entering into days where that's a very real possibility for us in America. We see it going more and more. But it reminds me of something in Matthew 21. In fact, hold your place there and go to Matthew 21. A great parable, not a story. These are not stories. These are truths that the Lord brings out. But in Matthew 21, he brings out this parable. And a parable is just a truth surrounded by things that he adds in there. He says in verse 33 of chapter 21, he says, "Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it, built a tower and let it out to a husbandman and went into a far country." We know it's talking about the Lord. He's made all of this. He planted a vineyard. Remember, Israel is God's vine. And in that place, he's the one that's given them that. And he's gone away and let them rule and reign over it. So when the time of the fruit drew near, because the Lord always expects fruit, and that should be a timely thing for our lives too, is what kind of fruit are we bringing forth for the Lord? And what is the fruit that he's looking for? We know it's the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, temperance, goodness, faithfulness. But he looks for fruit in our lives. And have we grown in the things of the Lord? Or haven't we grown because we haven't spent enough time and we're not looking to bear fruit for our God? So it says the time of the fruit drew near, and he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. There's some fruit. Not the fruit he was looking for, but there's the fruit of a life, because the husbandman has gone and they think that they're free to do what they want to do. Then they take the prophets and the priests that God has given to Israel, and they killed one, they stoned another, and they even slew the Son of God when he came. And this picture of just having the nearness of the Lord but not having a relationship with the Lord is just so important for us. And so he, again, in verse 36, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, "They will reverence my son." Isn't that the hope? They will reverence his son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance." And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. So the question then is in verse 40, "When the Lord therefore the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen?" And they say unto him, "He will miserably destroy those wicked men." Look at what they're saying. They're going to destroy those wicked people. Except they're not looking at themselves and saying, "We're the wicked people." Isn't it amazing how good we think of ourselves?
Justify their behavior.
Yes. And yet They don't see the sin that's in themselves. That's why we have to keep a close look and examine ourselves, like Paul says, like other places say, to examine ourselves to see where we are in the faith. Are we walking in the faith? Are we true to the things of the Lord? And how do you know if you're true to the things of the Lord unless you're in the Word? Because how do you know what the Word says unless you're reading the Word? That's why it's so important to every day be in the Word of God and to trust the Word of God as you go through your day. So we see this parallel. We see these things that are going on. And we see Joash doing some things that are right because Jehoiada is there. But as soon as he leaves, he stops all of those things. And we wonder what influence is in our lives that's going to keep us in the right path. And what's going to happen? And we've seen folks, and you probably all know of folks who've been walking with the Lord, and they get hurt by something. They get cancer. They get hurt by a death in the family, and they stop going to church. They stop reading the Word because they think God is mad at them, and they're mad at God for what's happened. That's a scary thing. And we go, Lord, I would never do that. Are you sure? How are you going to know until those things happen? And I think the Lord took Jehoiada out of his life at that age that he did, just to show Joash where he was and how he was walking. And who knows what things the Lord is going to bring to you and I to show us where our hearts are. Because our hearts are desperately wicked, Jeremiah tells us. Who can know them? We don't know what's in our heart until the circumstances come and we see what's in our heart. And then how are we going to deal with it? Ugh. And hopefully we're going to deal with it rightly and walk with the Lord in it. But we don't know, do we? That's why it's so important. Get in the Word. Stay in the Word. We must be born again. If you're not born again this morning, get a relationship with the Lord and come to Him now and come to know the truth of who He is. He died for your sin so that you could be free. And if He died for you, shouldn't we live for Him? Lord, help us to do that. And help us to walk in that truth. So back in Kings here, we see these things going on. In verse 7, it says, Then King Jehoash called for Jehoiada the priest and the other priests and said to them, Why repair ye not the breaches of the house? Now therefore receive no more money of your acquaintance, but deliver it for the breaches of the house. And the priest consented to receive no more money of the people, neither to repair the breaches of the house. But Jehoiada took a chest and bored a hole in the lid of it and set it beside the altar on the right side as one cometh into the house of the Lord. And the priest that kept the door put therein all the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. So in this place, they bring this chest. They put it in to the temple so that the people see it. And we know what's going to happen. And it tells us this in 2 Corinthians 9. Verse 7, and you know this verse. I'll start at verse 8. It says, But I say this, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, but not grudgingly or of a necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. If you have to give, and you give grudgingly or you give because it's the law, then don't bother. God doesn't need our money. He just wants to see our heart. And so that's what Paul is saying to the Corinthian church there, and that's what the Lord says to us. Giving, whether we're in an attitude of prayer or ministering to folks, if we're doing it because we have to or because it's something that's there and it's a necessity and we do it grudgingly, he says, don't even bother because there's going to be no fruit in that.
Can I just say, too, I mean, so this is looking at that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
There's a promise to us, not that we do it that way, but knowing that if we do the word, he's got it covered.
He's got it covered in all our ways. Thank you, Lord. No, good. And so Jehoiada the priest took a chest, he bored a hole in the lid of it, set it there in the house of the Lord in verse 10, and it was so when they saw that there was much money in the chest, that the king's scribe and the high priest came up and they put in up in bags and took the money and told the money that was found in the house of the Lord, and they gave the money being told into the hands of them that did the work, that had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they laid it out to the carpenters, the builders that wrought upon the house of the Lord. And we see a couple of things here, that the people had a heart to give. And that is wonderful. The high priests weren't faithful, but the people were faithful. Isn't that amazing? The people that were supposed to be faithful weren't faithful, but it just shows us that no matter, even if the priests are not going to be faithful, we still need to be faithful. That we still need to be faithful to walk after the things of the Lord and do what's right in the house of the Lord and for these temples that the Lord has built. And it also shows us in verse 10 there that the king's scribe and the high priest came up. So there's two witnesses that come to take the money, so that not just one person was accountable for it, that there was more than one. There was an accountability that was going on. And that's always important. Notice the king didn't have his hand in that. Jehoiada didn't have his hand in it, but others did. And for me, and I know for Pastor Dan and for others, the pastors do not get a hold of the money. They don't count the money. They don't open the box and grab the money. Let's see, one for you, Lord, one for me. One for you, one for me. It doesn't go that way. It's counted, and many times the pastors don't even know what's there. I don't even know what comes in every week. I don't put it in the bulletin. You know, I don't have a thermometer that's there to make you give more because the thermometer's a little cold. but just to show the accountability is not on them, so that they're involved in it. They're separate from it because they have a different function. That function is not to count the money and to take the monies and do it. It's for others to have. And so that's important. And it's important that there's two witnesses there, that there's just not one person doing it, because there's temptations. And we know what temptation can do to people. It can make people who are holy and right and walking in the right way falter and fall and go in the wrong direction. And we see it just this past week. Last week, there was two more pastors, one in Texas, and I forget where the other one was. They had to step down because of improprieties in their ministries. And it said, temptation is there for each and every one of us. And so keep praying for yourselves as well as those that are over you, that we would be right and go in the right direction. So it says then in verse 11 that they gave the money being told into the hands of them that did the work. So they took the money that was given. They give it to the carpenters, the builders, to take care of the house, and to the masons and the hewers of stone to buy timber and hewed stone to repair the breaches of the house of the Lord, for all it was laid out for the house to repair it. Howbeit, there was not made for the house of the Lord bowls of silver, snuffers, basins, trumpets, or any vessels of gold or vessels of silver of the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, but they gave that to the workmen, and they repaired therewith the house of the Lord. It says this then again in 2 Chronicles 24, verse 14, that it says, well, I'll pick up at verse 13. It says, so the workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them, and they set the house of God in his state, and they strengthened it, which is important. You know, hang on to those words. They set it up, and it was strengthened. There's a strengthening that goes on when God's house is taken care of. there's a strengthening, not for the house because it's just a building, but for the people that are doing it. There's a strengthening that goes on. There's a blessing out of obedience. And sometimes people wonder, you know, well, why do you have to give to God if he doesn't need anything? And it's just for our own hearts to be taken care of, to see where our hearts are. But there's a blessings when we do it rightly, when we do it according to the word of the Lord. And as we take care of those things, it said the house of God was set in order, and then they strengthened it. It was strengthening to the people that were doing the work there. And that's important for us, that the house of God be strengthened. Not the building itself, but the people. Because we need strengthening in the things of the Lord to do it rightly. And it says, and when they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, whereof were made for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister. So the vessels were made after those things were strengthened. Things were set in order first, and then these other things were made accordingly. So listen to what it says, because it's going to be important later on for us. They said, even the vessels to minister and to offer withal, in spoons and vessels of gold and silver, and they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually. Notice all the days of Jehoiada. And that you should do something with that. Mark it. Listen to it. Know it. All the days of Jehoiada. When the godly influence was there, all those things were taken care of. Because we had a man who was after the things of the Lord. But it stops right after he dies. Let's take a look here. In verse 15 again, moreover, they reckoned it not with the men into whose hand they delivered the money to bestowed on the workmen, for they dealt faithfully. The trespass money and the sin money was not brought into the house of the Lord. It was the priests. So as those offerings would come in, the priests would live off of those offerings. But then we see a change in things, and it says, then Hazael, the king of Syria, went up and fought against Gath and took it. And Hazael set his face to go up to Jerusalem. Jehoiada has died. The things have been taken care of. And look at what he does now in verse 18. And Jehoash, king of Judah, took all the hallowed things that Jehoshaphat and Joram and Ahaziah, his father's king of Judah, had dedicated, and his own hallowed things, and all the gold that was found in the treasuries of the house of the Lord and in the king's house, and he sent it to Hazael, king of Syria, and he went away from Jerusalem. All those things, all the years that Jehoiada was alive, and they made those things, when the enemy comes up, what does Joash do? Instead of keeping those hallowed things hallowed, he gives them away. And we do that, don't we? We hollow ourselves. We look to make ourselves holy. We look to bring into our lives those things of the Lord. We set the things of God in order in our lives, and we're strengthened by it. And as soon as the enemy comes up and our hearts change and the influence in our lives of godly things dies, we give those things away. And we say, we don't need those things anymore. We got to protect ourselves. We got to keep ourselves right. So instead of keeping the hallowed things of the Lord, who is going to take care of Jerusalem? Who is going to take care of Israel? It was God. But Joash said, well, God's not taking care of me. The enemy's here. So I'm just going to give the things of God away. And we can do that in our lives spiritually as the enemy comes up to confront us at times, and we just give up. And you guys know it's true. Because what happens when you get on the expressway and the first guy that comes along cuts you off? You give the things of God away and you say, give me the world, because I'm going to torpedo that car and I'm going to blow him up and send him somewhere. You give the things of God away. The things that He built into you as you sat in service and listened to the Word of God, and you set the things in order, and you said, "Yes, Lord, those are the things I want in my life. I want peace. I want patience. I want kindness." And you get them, and you go out into the car, and you get on the expressway, and you give them away and say, "Where's the torpedo? I'm going to name it, and I'm going to claim it, and I'm going to blow that guy away." We give the things of God away. After we just got strengthened up, we can't point fingers at Joash, can we? We got to point fingers at ourselves. Lord, what am I doing with the things that you've given me? You set this house in order. You've given me life. You've given me direction. You've given me salvation. You've given me a hope that goes beyond this life. You've given me hope eternal. You've given me everything that I need for this life. And we set those things in order, and we get strengthened by it, and you start reading your word, and you're joyous, and you start praising the Lord, and you raise your hands in service, something you never did as a kid because you thought it was dumb, but now all of a sudden you realize it's the greatest thing going, that God is good and that He's taking care of us, and something comes into our life and we give the things of God away. The things that strengthened us are the things that we give away. It wasn't those things that strengthened. It wasn't the snuffers and the candlesticks and all those things, but it was the spirit behind it, wasn't it? Oh, Lord, that's what I'm giving away. And as you look and you realize that, it should make an impact on your life. Lord, I don't want to give the stuff that you give me away, because the things that you give me are eternal. The things that you give me are the things that strengthen me. The things I'm grabbing a hold of to take care of somebody else and blow them away are never going to last. Anger, bitterness, hurt, all those things destroy us. But the things that God gives us are eternal, and they build us up and they strengthen us. And by doing those things, we're just giving away what God has given us. And, these things are here for an example for us, just to show us what can happen. The more we give those things away, the less we have to give, isn't it? The next time an enemy comes up against Joash, he's got less to give away, doesn't he? Where am I going to get money to get rid of this now? How am I going to take care of this problem? But instead of going to the Lord for it, we look at our bank account, or we look at our credit card. We look at how many loans we can take out. And we start doing all of those things. And we start giving up on what God can do. And we start trying to work the way of the world so that we can get enough to take care of ourselves. It's a scary place to be. And I'm not saying I do it right. I'm not. Pray for me. But boy, more and more spiritual maturity is going to bring to us. That means we've got more things in the house. We got more snuffers. We got more candlesticks. We got more of Jesus. We got more faith. We got more of these things. But we can give them away just as quickly as Joash did, if we're not careful, if we're not garrisoning those things about, if we're not keeping those things, if we're not taking heed to our own lives, we'll give them away just as quick as Joash did. And as soon as that influence dies on us, we can't make it on our own. Lord, help us, because we're going to have to stand alone. And sometimes the Lord will take things away that are a good influence in our lives just to show us where we are in Him. How are we doing on our own? And boy, I saw it with COVID, because the first week, you know, Zoom is on. So you get on Zoom and you sit there and you're paying attention and you're taking notes and you're doing all that stuff. The second week of Zoom, what were you doing? I'm in my jammies. I'm sitting on the couch. I got a cup of coffee. Oh, now I got to go to the bathroom. Well, I'm not going to disturb him because I'm not there. So I can just go, and you miss part of the teaching. And you come back and you're not even in sync with what Dan was teaching or whoever was teaching. And then, well, I'm not really getting anything out of this. I think I'll go get a bowl of cereal. I need some Captain Crunch. He'll take care of me. He's going to nourish me. He's going to strengthen me. And oh boy, all of a sudden the things just start going down, and it just shows how quick we can falter from where the Lord has brought us to. We're good the first week. And it just goes downhill. Isn't it amazing? Men are fickle. We are just something else, aren't we? We think we're all of that, and the Lord says, you're not all that. You're all this. just an amazing thing. So he sends it to Hazael. The enemy has come, and he gives away everything that Jehoiada had built up into this man's life over the years. He gives it away. The influence is gone. And you know the sad part too? Why wasn't somebody else raised up to be like Jehoiada? Where's the next high priest that's going to stand there and say, this is what's right in your life. This is what you need to have. This is what you need to do. Where's that influence? Where did that go? It just shows that nobody else caught the vision of Jehoiada and went the same direction. That said, out of all those people that were there, what happened? Where was the next one? And you wonder, where's the next Billy Graham? Where's the next Franklin Graham? Who's going to stand in the gap? Who's going to be there? But aren't you thankful that the Lord is always faithful to raise somebody up who's going to be faithful to teach the word no matter what the rest of the world is doing? I'm so thankful for the Spurgeons and the Moody's and the Wesley's and those that stood in the gap when the rest of the world was just, It's just amazing. I'm thankful for the Billy Grahams all the Graham family that are out there teaching. But who's coming next? Is it going to be a Jack Hibbs saying, wake up, America? Who's it going to be? We don't know. But the Lord's going to be faithful to bring there. But the question is, who's going to be raised up? But what are we doing about it? Are we praying for it? Are we looking to build ourselves up in our most holy faith by the presence of the Lord in our lives? Are we faithful to keep crying out, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can walk in truth and walk in love? Or are we looking for somebody else to do it? Well, there's no Franklin Graham teaching anymore. I'll just stop going to church. What's the big deal? I'm saved. God's going to take care of me. Yes, you are saved. If you're truly born again, you're saved, and you're eternally saved. But can we screw up and mess up? Yeah, we can. What's the best thing for us? To stay in the truth. Are we doing it on our own, or are we waiting for Franklin Graham to do it? Lord help. We need to be doing it ourselves. He hasn't called Franklin Graham to save us. He's called for us to walk in truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we should be walking in him. Lord, help us to do that no matter who's there or who's not there. and for Joash, he failed just like so many of us. But the example is there for us to pay attention to. And it says then, in the rest of the acts of Joash and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And his servants arose and made a conspiracy, and they slew Joash in the house of Milo, which goeth down to Silla. So his start of his life, 7 years old, he's the king. He's doing what's right. He's following. There's a man who's influencing him, and he's doing great, and he's got this godly influence. The enemies are not attacking the whole time Jehoiada is there. Because Jehoiada is a praying man, is a man who's walking after the things of the Lord. But as soon as that influence is gone, Joash goes away from following after the things of the Lord. And it got so bad that the people rose up and killed him because he was such a bad person. Oh, talk about the end of your life not being as good as the start of your life. It should be the other way around for us, shouldn't it? The more we walk with the Lord, the more godly we should be, the more influencing we should be to those around us. But instead of doing that, Joash went the other direction. And you have to look, what are our lives doing? Are we having more of an influence on people where we are now? Or have we just given up on the things of the Lord and we're not even talking about the things of the Lord anymore? For us, fellowship means we're having a euchre tournament at our house. Really, that's a great godly influence, isn't it? And we look, what are we doing? Lord, help us. And I can tell you, America needs godly influence right now. Our churches need godly influence. Because their churches are falling apart. They said last year 1,900 churches closed. 1,900. Where are those people going? Or are they going nowhere?
Is it really a question?
Yeah.
I'm going to interrupt. There's a scripture in the Bible, and I don't remember where it is, but it talks about waiting for the sons and daughters to arise. Meaning, be who we were called to be at the sign. I don't know where it is in the scripture in the Bible, but it's in the Old Testament, and it talks about waking up the sons and daughters
Yeah, I believe that God has a couple of young men out there that will be preachers.
Yep. But in the meantime, what are we doing? Yeah. Yeah. And to be praying, you know, certainly. Don't just pray for those that are saved and pray that the Lord would smoke who's in office right now or smoke who's coming into office next. You need to pray for their salvation. He's told us to. He's commanded us to. We're to pray for those that are in authority over us. And remember, when Jesus came, Caesars were there. Who was he praying for? And if he can do it, why can't we? Lord, help us to do that. We don't know who's coming into office. We know who we want to be in office. But if they don't get into office, that shouldn't affect our Christianity. What should affect our Christianity is our walk with the Lord. Am I walking? No matter who's there. Because he may bring somebody in that's just going to cause the end of America. Because we know in the last times, America's not mentioned in Scripture. What happened to us? But what we know is God is still faithful to his remnant. And he's never going to leave us or forsake us. So we need to be faithful to him and walk with him. So Joash is killed. And it says in verse 21, for Jaz-Achar, the son of Shimeath, in Jehozabad, the son of Shomer, I wish they had real names. His servants smote him and he died, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David, and Amaziah, his son, reigned in his stead. And then we'll go on from there. But in Psalm 26, it says this, which for me was great this morning as I was sitting there thinking about it. It says, judge me, O Lord, a psalm of David. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I've walked in the right way. So, Lord, judge me. Show me where I am. Show me where my heart is. Show me what's in my heart so that I can take care of those weak areas, so that I can garrison about those strong areas, so that I can deal with those issues that are just tearing things down in my life. Because my temple could look like the temple that Joash came into when Athaliah had torn it down. There was no dishes, no snuffers, no candlesticks. Lord, does my temple look like that? And if it does, Lord, show me so that I can take care of those things. Judge me, O Lord. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me. As he says, David says, examine me, Lord. So judge me, examine me. Kind of the same thing, isn't it? Examine my heart, Lord, and prove me, try me, is what he's saying. Can you imagine that? Aren't we scared sometimes to say, Lord, show me what's in my heart? I don't want to know what's in my heart. Yes, I do, because I need to get rid of those things, don't we? My heart's evilly, it's evil. It's deceitfully wicked above all things. And he says, show me my heart. Wow. Prove it. Try me. Test me, Lord. Try my reins and my heart, for the loving kindness, for thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I've walked in your truth. He says, I've seen those things before me, but Lord, show me where my heart is. I've seen your loving kindness. I've seen your goodness and your grace. And we have all seen that. At one time or another in our lives, we've all seen that. But can we still say, Lord, examine me and show me where I am? Because none of us in this room are perfect. I hate to tell you, you haven't arrived. If you would have arrived, I would have seen halos, and I'm not seeing a whole lot of halos. Or if they are, they're slipping, I don't know. But can you imagine that heart that would say that? I've seen your loving kindness and your mercy, and David certainly had, hadn't he? But then he said, prove me, show me where I am so that I can make everything else right that's wrong. And that's a great heart. That's a heart of maturity as you walk with the Lord, that you could say that to the Lord and ask him to do that. And when was the last time we've done that? Show me where I am, Lord. Oh, show me where I am so that I can be more like you. Because we need Jesus, don't we? I don't know about you, but the more I see of myself, the more I see of the world, the more I realize I need Jesus more and more, because I'm not making it. He is, but I can be like Joash and just push him completely aside, too. Wow. My Holy Spirit is talking and telling me. So, Father, just thank you for your word, Lord. How it convicts us, how it shows us, how it just makes us mindful, Lord, of all the things that you're looking at, of all the things that you see, of all the things that are going on in our lives that we don't even know about. We don't know all of what's going on in America, but you do. But we need to be in prayer, Lord, and we can't pray rightly without knowing what's going on. So, Lord, show us and help us that we might see the wickedness that's around us so that we can pray for those, that they might be freed from that wickedness. And, Father, if we're dependent on somebody to keep us, Lord, help us to realize that more and more we need to be on our own before you, in our own relationship with you. Our faith in you is not based on somebody else's relationship. It's based on our own. So, Lord, help us, if we're not born again, that we would just submit ourselves to you today, Lord, knowing what you've done for us. If we are, Lord, but we've walked away, kind of like Joash, and given some of the things of the Lord away to an enemy, Lord, help us to build those things back up again. And just help us to be in that place where we would just see your goodness, your grace, your mercy before us and walk in the right way. So help us, Lord. We do pray for America, that you'd bring salvation, Lord. You know the candidates, Lord. You know Mr. Trump. You know Miss Harris. And we just pray for them, Lord, for salvation to come to their lives. We pray that they would come to know you as Lord and Savior, that they could make right laws and right decisions for our country. We love our country, Lord, but we know that you love the people in it. So, Lord, help us to pray for them. We love you, we thank you, and we just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.